Okay, I want to get back into potential. We've been talking about potential now for, it's got to be at least 6 weeks, something like that. We took several weeks to go through understanding our potential, and now we've been going through releasing our potential. And I'll do a brief recap in case some of you have missed some things, and then we're going to get into it. This is going to be a little different. We have a different presentations in the midst of it, and I'll be conscious of time, but I probably won't let time dictate it because the board meeting can take place whenever the board meeting takes place. But I'll try to be respectful of that. So Heavenly Father, bless our ears to hear. Let not one person here miss what you want to convey to them today. And Father, let us turn our attention to you and glorify your name in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we talked about understanding your potential, and we said this. People generally fall into three categories: the few who make things happen, the many who watch things happen, and the overwhelming majority who have no idea what happens. You are more than what you've done. I want to say that again. Again, we're talking about potential. You are more than what you've done. So many of us look at life looking in reverse. We're looking at our past, seeing our faults and failures or our accomplishments, and we judge who we are based on that. You are more than anything you've ever done. Potential is dormant ability, reserved power, untapped strength, unused success, hidden talents, capped capability. It is all you can be but have yet become, all you can do but not yet done, how far you can reach but have not yet reached, what you can accomplish but have not yet accomplished. That's your potential. And really what we're talking about is not only who are we in Christ, but who is Christ in us? Because ultimately, Christ and beyond is your potential. And why do I say that? Because he says you're going to do more stuff. Okay? So let's not limit ourselves, because he hasn't limited us. So, in keys to releasing your potential, we talk, the first point is know your source. Since God is your maker, knowing him is the foundational key for releasing your potential. Your source determines who you are. Second point, you must understand how you were designed to function to release your potential. Faith is how you are called to function. Just in case you forgot. So, now we're on to point three, and we're going to get to point four. And I'm really trying to take my time through all of this because I think it's really important. We have to get to a level of understanding our walk with the Lord. So it just becomes a natural outworking of who we are. If we're constantly trying to figure all these things out, then we're always thinking too much and not being who we're called to be. So if we can understand Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we can truly understand it so it becomes who we are, in every situation we walk into, we know we're bringing the hope of glory into that situation. If you understand, you're not just a little light under the bushel, right? I'm going to let it shine. But you're this roaring spotlight that illuminates everything around you. You understand that if you walk into a dark place, darkness flees. It's just who you are. And I see a world that is so deceived and a world that's so confused, and they're just waiting for the children of God to understand that they're the children of God. And the children of God will change everything, because that's what he's called you to do. Your potential is more than what you've done. So, point three, you must know your purpose in order to release your potential. Life without purpose is an experiment. So the purpose for something is the reason it exists. Ignorance robs you of potential because it leads to abuse or abnormal use. You can't use something in its natural way unless you know why it exists, how it's designed to work. If I use this mug that could really refresh me right now as a paperweight, it can function that way. But its proper use is to refresh me. If you try to live life without God, you will mess up life. Because life without purpose yields abuse. Knowledge of purpose is the only way to avoid abuse. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Again, we're talking about purpose. Verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Verse 31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Everything you are is related to your purpose. He wants you to look like you and act like him. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say that again. All those scriptures, we're talking about things that by his Spirit he has imparted to you. Okay? Not only has he imparted them to you, but you're supposed to desire the gifts. You know, there's a reason he says to approach him like a child. You know, I have grandkids now. It's pretty cool. You bring out presents, they can't wait. Even if they're not theirs, they want to tear into them, right? But I see so many believers with gifts all around them and they're never even interested in opening them up. Everything you are is related to your purpose. He wants you to look like you and act like him. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. How many know love like that? How many love like that? I dare you to love like that. I dare you to walk in a lousy situation and love like that. I dare you to approach your boss, who's the worst boss in the world and has demonstrated that he's not worthy of anything, and to love like that. While you were yet sinners, Christ loved like that. He looked like him, but he acted like God. See, God's nature is love. Having God's nature is the difference between looking lovely and being lovely. See, we're not called to look lovely. We're called to be lovely. Genesis 3:9 says, but the Lord God called the man, where are you? Fellowship is a purpose. Fellowship is companionship. Sharing of experience, sharing of activity, and sharing of interest. So I want us to take the full hour next Sunday in fellowship. Share yourself with someone. Another purpose is to dominate the earth. Let them have dominion. Other versions say, let them rule. Genesis 1:26. We are in control of our environment. John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. You have the purpose of bearing fruit. You have to understand your purpose, or you are not going to know how to act. You don't work to bear fruit. You bear fruit by abiding in him. Why? Because that's your purpose. So how do we bear fruit? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all this other stuff, cool stuff, all the stuff we like, starts to happen. So quit worrying about all the stuff that you like to happen. And relate. He's really made this temporal existence so simple with eternal implications. Bear fruit. It's your purpose. Love the unlovable. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. If you ask according to his purpose for you, it's a yes and amen. It's really simple. So if you're not seeing the answers that you want, are you asking according to his purpose? Your potential is that everything you ask is done. Why? Because that's what the word says. I'm quoting him. Galatians 5, we all know this passage, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You have the purpose to multiply. I had four children. If they have four children, we get exponential growth. Four turns to 16, right? To 64, and so on. It's one way to populate heaven. I was not negligent in my duties. Genesis 1:28, your life influences your surroundings. So, the release of your potential is directly related to your willingness to know, to understand, and to submit to God's purpose for your life. You want to release your potential? Get to know and understand your purpose. So I was talking to Peter Chun this past week. Peter and Esther came over before Peter left, and he was saying God had, I don't know what when the timing was, but God had placed something in his heart. And I said, I'm gonna tell everybody. So I'm telling everybody. 600 million souls. Why did I say that? He now understands his purpose. 600 million souls. So then my wife was like, well, you might have already done that. So I changed it to 6 billion so he'd keep on going. We got to keep him going. You know, and I don't know. Whenever I spoke last, I mentioned something in discussing our property. And I said, $100 million. I believe God wants us to spend on this property. $100 million. I find purpose in that. I'm going to raise $100 million. Why? Because God is starting to show more and more of your vision for this property. So I say all those things because of this. You must understand your resources to release your potential. God is more concerned with what we do with what we have than he is with how much you have. Parable of the talents, right? What we do with what we have and how much we have. So if you'd throw up that map, okay, it's not blown up, but I think you get the gist. I had asked everyone to shut their eyes and envision our property, and then I realized a lot of you might not know what property we have. So on the top right, you can see our sanctuary and office and the gym, right? And most of you, if you look in the back, you see a edge of forest. Well, we have a nice chunk of property even past that, which I think most of you may not realize. So all of that is a little over 20 acres of property. Now I want to show you that because what can you envision when you see all the property? I can see a build out off of here for more classrooms and such. I can see the prayer center off in the corner there. I can see different ministry buildings over here. I can see a multi-purpose school facility. I can see senior housing, which has been spoken over this place multiple times. I was talking to my mother this past week, and she goes, I remember when. And she brought up the senior housing. I can see dormitories. I can see a lot of things in here. You need to start letting God show you things about what he wants to do with the property, and you'll find that he's probably showing us all similar things. But we need to do more than that. Why? Because to release your potential, you need to function in faith. So just seeing it and doing nothing about it really isn't releasing your potential. So I believe that God's going to call us to start functioning in faith towards the vision he has for this place this year. Now, I don't know if we're going to get all 100 million done this year. But if he wants us to, we will. But I do believe he's going to call us to jump out of the boat and walk on water. So I'm going to have Larry come up and share a little bit, and then we're going to get on and talk more about the resources that he's given us.
Okay. Potential without vision will never accomplish anything. You can have the greatest potential in the world, but if you don't have a vision, nothing's going to get done. 2 years ago, a little bit older than that, I had three Zambian Americans come to the church office here, and for 6 weeks, every Saturday from 1 to 3, they came in to meet. One of them was coming all the way from Watertown for this meeting. They had all were in the medical field, and they wanted to give back to Lusaka, where they were born and raised. And so they started supporting out of their own pockets. They were not tax exempt. Didn't even have a corporation or anything. They were, for a couple of years, they'd been paying it faithfully out of their own pocket. And so a Kenyan man told one of the Zambians about me and the consulting that I do. And so he reached out, and so we started meeting. The first couple of meetings was strictly creating organization or creating a corporation. By week three, we started vision casting. Now, they were having difficulties coming up with the money. As a matter of fact, I had to ask a friend to make a donation of $5,000 just to catch them up, because they had three staff. They had three nurse practitioners on staff, as well as a part-time doctor. So we were able to help them get caught up, but we started vision casting. Now, their thing was just to try and keep three people on it, just helping those that didn't have the money to come and get medical treatment. And so I began to vision cast with them, and it seemed like that the Lord was dropping things in my spirit about where they could be. And so I said, what if we start getting ambulances to start taking it outside of the town of Lusaka and just let it sit there all day? So we began to visualize how that would work. And they got so excited about talking about that part of it. And so I said, right now we're in a one-house clinic. What if we start trusting God for a 40,000 square foot hospital? And so we began to literally design a building that showed everything that they could do to help with treatment. And we let it go. Then we put a corporation together. We had board members from the United States. Then we created an NGO and had the same board serve on both capacities. 2 years have passed now. They now are in four houses, all on the same compound. The Lusaka government, Lusaka is the capital of Zambia, has recognized them as a hospital. And the last meeting, 3 weeks ago on a Saturday, we meet every quarterly, and the staff asked if we'd have a problem with them starting to design a hospital, because there's been a group that stepped up and said, listen, we'll build you a hospital, you'll just need to pay it back. Now, they now have three full-time doctors on staff, and they have seven nurse practitioners. This is in 2 years. I thought maybe the hospital, I was being a little bit skeptical of even thinking they could have a hospital. But within 10 years, they probably could have a hospital. But within 2.5 years, they've had somebody step up and say, we'll build you the hospital. They went from seeing 25 clients a week to where they're now seeing 350 clients a week. In Zambia, it's the same as it is here with Medicare and Medicaid. So people come in and we get to charge back to the government for services. We still offer, for those who can't, that doesn't have the insurance, we still provide free care. And so that was a phenomenal step of faith where we were just trying to make sure that their staff could get caught up in what we owed them, to where God was really showing forth what he could do. At the beginning of this year, there was a couple things just stirring in my spirit. One was that he wants us to set up, for me, not anybody else, but to plan for 5 years. And at the same time, it was in my spirit about the vision of the church, the vision statement. I was going through, as a board of directors, chairman, how can I implement a portion? And so the Lord just brought me into nurturing and creativity. And I just began to concentrate on that part of what can I do as a board member to bring that into action. And at the same time, it was just a stirring in my spirit about the property, questioning, God, why did you give us all this property if we're not going to be using it? We don't need it. And at the same time that was going on, we were getting Tall Oak saying, we love the property here. Would you sell us some property to build? And I knew that that was not going to fly. I didn't like it myself, and I knew that the elders would not go along with it. And so it was in my spirit, God, what can we do? Because again, it's about nurturing. What can we do to get them what they're looking for? Because, and I told them just pray about it, because I don't think that they'd ever consider on selling into the property. Besides that, it would mess up our parcels. And so, one day, I was just, God, what? And then he dropped in my spirit, you guys build it. You guys being the church. You guys build it. And I've done a lot of working with churches and buildings. And so I started thinking, well, the minimum cost would be $11 million. And literally, this is what I was going through. And God, we'd have to bring improvements in. And that'd probably be another $200,000. And then what kind of issue are we going to have? And he said, well, just extend 34th Avenue to the end of your property. This is what God is saying to me. And I'm saying, well, sure. Now we're at close to somewhere between $12.5 and $15 million for this building project. And I started looking. I said, God, there's just no way the size of church that we'd ever be able to do that. And it was so strong that he said, well, don't worry about your people. Just move forward with the building. And so I began to claim that. And I had not shared this with anybody. Then a couple of weeks ago, Bruce got up. I don't know how much he knew that he was under an anointing. And he said 100 million. I felt kind of relaxed, because if he's thinking 100 million, I only need 15 million. But where I really felt that the Holy Spirit took over that the church service, and he said he didn't recognize, he said he saw one person, but when he slammed open that, you remember, he threw that basket open, the door, losing my voice here, but threw it open, and people began to respond by faith about what he did, not knowing that anybody would, he wasn't asking for an offering, but people responded to that. And out of that, it was somewhere around $1,100, $1,200 that came in from that. And the Lord began to say, that's the seed money. And just spoke so strong to me, that's the seed money. Now, one thing I know is that if you get a vision, if I wait for 5 years, nothing's going to happen. So I immediately looked at what can we do this first year? Because again, if you don't take that first step, God's not going to meet it. He'll give you a vision, but if you don't take that first step, nothing will ever happen. So that's where your potential comes in. Each one of us, God has given potential for the vision that he's given you, both individually and corporately, for the kingdom of heaven. And so you take that, and so where it comes back to nurturing is that you may not know where your gifting is. That's where you come and say, I feel that God's called me something. Thanks, Jeff. You could tell. But it's up to us to take that gift that he's given us. Each one of us are gifted differently. I thank God that from a young age, he gifted me with administration. And I, when I made it spiritual, that's when I saw God's miracles take place. And when I began to get outside, we have a tendency to be in our little puddle. And we never see the supernatural. And I'm telling you that what took place in Zambia, we're operating in the supernatural. And so we never see the supernatural because we stay in that little puddle of what we can do. It's when we can, when we say, God, we want to reach into your ocean. We want to operate in that ocean. That's when we see the miracles take place. I can always make a plan, and administrators can. They make a plan on how to make things happen. God never does it the way we plan it, but he always does it better than what we planned. And so if I sit on this for this year and we don't do anything and we don't start putting committees together to actually plan out the whole property, that's how, and here's my goal, is to have our people plan out what should be on this property, not location, because once we get it all planned out, I want us to come in and hire a land planner that has connections with Pleasant Prairie to get the process so that we've got all the conditional use permits ready to build as God brings in the funds. So step one is that we've got an action for this year. Once we fulfill this, then we can say, God, we've taken it as far as we can take it. Then it's up to him to do the next step. And I believe that too many times we stay with the vision and nothing happens. And until you're ready to take that first step, God's not going to meet where you're at. And so that's really been stirring my heart. It's stronger and stronger. The $15 million is nothing for God. And so if we don't get afraid of the numbers and just trust God, and that's both the size of the attendance here or the size of the money. I believe that when we start moving in the gifts that God has given to us, the side effect, because again, it's supernatural, the side effect will be people wanting to come and see what's going on. So that's it.
So Terry came up to me just as a reminder, everything you look at where you're sitting right now was all built debt-free. So, when vision is cast and we're talking about purpose, right? There's a purpose for this property that we're talking about. The thought that what's there now that's valued at approximately $12 million, debt-free. So numbers shouldn't faze you, they should excite you. Because if God's going to do exceedingly above what I can think of, he's going to do quite a bit. Okay, so you must understand your resource to release your potential. We must understand our resource to release our corporate potential. We're talking individually and corporately. You, individually, must understand your resources. What are they? Well, you have spiritual resources. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Luke 11:28, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. What am I saying? We must feed on the word of God. The Word is a spiritual resource. The gifts of the Spirit are a spiritual resource. And for the sake of time, I'm going to skip some scripture. 1 Corinthians 12 lists all the gifts of the Spirit, right? One of the areas it lists gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual resource. We just talked about reading the Word of God. Read this and you'll understand your spiritual gifts. The armor is a spiritual resource. Put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. You have physical resources. Our senses, our bodies. 1 Corinthians says, 6:12. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything's permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. You need to understand your resource. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? You have material resources. Genesis 1:29 says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. You have resources for the soul, resources for your mind, resources for your emotions. Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers of the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. I'm going to skip a few scriptures to just follow on with me. If you guard your soul, your spirit and body will prosper. It's really important that you understand your resources so you can utilize them in a manner which leads you to fulfill your purpose. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Other versions say, as a man believeth in his heart. You know, we think our brains for that. But really, our hearts for that. You want to convince somebody of something? Touch their heart. You know, I can logically think of all kinds of things, but when my heart's been touched, it really doesn't matter what my mind thinks. I know that I know that I know. Belief takes place in the spirit. But thinking takes place in the soul. You become what you think, not what you believe. Our thoughts influence us more than our beliefs. There's a passage that tells us, think on these things. Why? Because if we will think on those things, we will believe those things, and you'll see those things come to be. Too often, we spend too much time thinking on the wrong things and wonder why we don't get the results that we should get. Understand your resources. I'm going to skip all those scriptures for that. Resource of time. Time is a temporary interruption on eternity. The only thing you can do with time is use it or lose it. And the only time you are guaranteed is this very second. Ephesians 5:16 says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Understanding, cultivating, and maintaining your resource is a key to releasing your potential. Matthew 25 says it this way, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. So point three, know your purpose. Point four, know your resources. That's how you release your potential. Stand with me. Kind of sped through that simply for the sake of time, but I think you get the gist of it. I want to say this before we close. Your purpose on Sundays isn't to listen to the speaker. Now, lately I've done a lot of the speaking, so your purpose isn't to listen to me. Your purpose is to hear from the Lord. Okay? And then study and apply all those things throughout the week. If you think you can sustain your walk with the Lord by listening to a speaker for a half hour, you're fooling yourself. I don't care how good of a speaker he is. I don't care how anointed of a speaker he is. Your purpose is to hear from the Lord, apply it to your life, and make you seek the kingdom of God throughout the week. So when you come the next week, you're probably the encouragement, the one person that you say hello to needed, and you sow into their life. Now, I'm not saying not to honor the speaker. You should honor everyone. But I want you to understand your purpose. I want you to understand your resources. We're not talking just to talk. We're talking to see God change our life so we can bring him glory outside of these four walls. Actually, there's more than four. So I want to pray over you, and then Bud had shared something with me, and we're going to close with what Bud felt impressed. Actually, I'm going to have Bud come and lead that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do the exercise Bud envisioned, and then you'll be dismissed. So, Heavenly Father, individually right now, I speak on behalf of every person here. May they know that they know that they know your purpose in their lives. May it no longer be a question. Just birth it deep within them. Let it just be obvious and evident to them. May a passion just ignite them to have vision and dreams of fulfilling that which you've put in them. Father, and then I ask that you would open their eyes to see and understand all that you've already provided them. Father, that they would know that which you've put in their heart, you are going to fulfill in them. Father, and then I just ask that they would have a collective corporate vision for what you want to do in this place. And that, Lord, there would be a passion birthed in their hearts to see it come to fruition. And that through faith, together, we would take the steps that you've called us to take, that you would be glorified in this house. I bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.